Hi, Rupert. I'm William.
Hi, William. From nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too. So mine basically is just the bundle of thought, or just thought itself, and feelings and sensations. That's what we mean by
it. The way I use the word mind is, as I said earlier, it's consciousness plus thoughts, feelings, sensations, and perceptions. It's a mixture of consciousness plus its contents. But other people use the word mind differently. Sometimes you hear somebody says, the mind appears in awareness. The body appears in awareness. The mind appears in awareness. The world appears in awareness. Then mind means the sum total of all your thoughts, feelings, sensations, and perceptions. I tend to use the word mind to mean consciousness plus the contents of experience. What is this room? It's the space plus the walls. The space, the objects, the people, and the walls. All of these together constitutes this room. So this room has two elements to it. One, the vast space of the universe, and two, the four walls and the contents. And these together, the vast space of the universe plus the four walls and its contents, creates the room. Well, the room is the finite mind. What is the finite mind? It's the vast space of infinite consciousness plus the content of experience. And that seems to create an illusory separate consciousness, or the finite mind. Are you understanding me? Am I being clear?
Yeah. It's just I wanted to get that before asking my question.
Okay.
So is it, in my experience, sometimes I feel like to some extent that the mind or thought is kind of like conscious, in the sense that it can plot against me, like in some way. Like it tries to find ways to perpetuate itself, like to make up stories or stuff, you know. And it's
true that the
if it's only thought, like how can it do that? Like if the mind is just thought appearing in consciousness,
well,
how would it be
not,
able to?
It's not. You've remember how I define the mind: consciousness plus thoughts. This, in other words, the mind is an entity. Like this room is an entity. It's the space plus the walls and the objects and people. The mind is consciousness plus the content of experience. And this, so just as this space of this room seems to be a separate space, so the mind seems to be a separate entity. Consciousness plus thoughts, feelings, and so on. So this apparently separate entity wants to perpetuate itself. It doesn't want to die. So the finite mind wants to perpetuate itself. So how does it do that? By continuing its activity. As long as the mind is continuing its activity, thinking, feeling, sensing, and perceiving, it perpetuates itself. That's why I said in one of the meditations this morning, one of the hardest things for a spiritual seeker or aspirant or is to let go of this impulse of seeking, because that feels like death to the mind. It is death to the mind. But the mind wants something to do. The mind doesn't mind what it does, whether it's just seeking happiness in the world or seeking God in the church or seeking enlightenment it doesn't matter, because it keeps the mind going. The mind thinks, great, that the entity, the apparently separate entity, called the finite mind, as long as it's doing something, it's perpetuating its illusory self. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really mind what it's doing. It just exchanges one activity, a worldly activity, for a spiritual activity, and keeps going. But the one thing it finds really difficult is not to do anything at all. Not only to abandon the conventional search for happiness in the world, but to abandon the search for God in the religious traditions, or even to abandon the search for enlightenment in the spiritual traditions.
So I
noticed that some people who are deeply interested in, genuinely and deeply interested in these matters, they had tremendous resistance to the idea that sooner or later you may have to give up your practice. You may have to cease being devoted to your teacher. That your devotion to your teacher is not really devotion to your teacher. If you were truly devoted, you would stop being devoted to a teacher or a person. Or in the end, even your practice is something you give your attention to, something that keeps your mind going. And that's all fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of those practices, but, and this is what I alluded to this morning, a time comes when you have to let all of that go. And that, it doesn't just feel like a death to the mind, it is. That is the death of the apparently separate self. And a lot of people who have a genuine interest in these matters, I'm not meaning to imply that they don't have a genuine interest or indeed a deep understanding, but it's that last impulse to do, to become, to achieve, to know, it's terrifying for the mind. And as a concession to such a person, the spiritual traditions have traditionally given that person something to do. Okay, I'll give you something to do. Chew on this for a while. But they know sooner or later, when you've chewed on it for long enough and you've matured, you're going to have to come to this understanding sooner or later that there is nowhere for you to go. There is nothing for you to do.
But just if I may, just in these phases where there's like these back and forth, like maybe you relax into awareness and then thought comes back up in whatever it says, you know? I'm just trying to get the mechanism. Is it like, does it come back because of habit and beliefs, or does it come back because in some way it has a consciousness of its own? I'm not sure if my question is clear, but just sometimes it feels like, I don't know, thought just makes up things, and it just comes up in a way that it feels like when I observe it, it feels like it's making a story, you know, to keep itself going. But I'm not the one making that story.
I think there are two things. One, it's a habit. It's an old habit that you've been rehearsing almost all of your life, this habit of seeking, becoming, acquiring, and so on. It's also that. And also, the more profoundly you taste, not just understand, but taste the peace of your true nature, the more profoundly this seeking impulse will subside. You have to really taste that your being is already at peace and inherently fulfilled. If you really deeply know that and feel that and taste that, that will, it may not get rid of the impulse of seeking overnight, but it will diminish it considerably. There may still be an old habit of seeking that carries on for a while. So it's a bit of both.
So it just takes time and it's normal.
Don't impose time on it. Not necessarily. It may do, but it may not.
Thank you.